Welcome back to another episode of the Amazon Private Label Podcast. In this episode, myself and my co-host Ryan are going to be talking about what Amazon products to avoid when you're finding your first or your second, third, fourth, fifth, whatever product you're looking for, what products to always avoid and why. Now, before we get into that, a quick plug for our Amazon Accelerator 2.0 program. We have students who've been in it for a couple of months, launching products number one as we speak. And so, you know, we've changed our coaching model from 3 months because we were launching with students without getting them to that transformational primary income moment in their business. So we made a pivot. We extended our offering from 3 months to 12 months. We're taking on students for our August and September openings now. Link, as always, in the show notes. Book a call or DM Ryan or I on Twitter, and we will be happy to answer your questions and hopefully build with you. Okay, so today, what products to avoid launching on Amazon, my man? Why don't you start us off? Just what's a no-go?
Yeah, so I posted a really good thread on Twitter, and I hit my email list with this. But one of the big no-nos that I came across, and this is generally an example that everyone's going to use, it's a bit like the garlic press, but it's a little bit different. It's the massage gun. So I know you guys have seen the massage gun. It pops up on Facebook ads all the time. You've seen it on YouTube. You've seen it on TikTok. You know, you've seen it on Amazon. And, you know, there was a point in time when this would have been a pretty good product to get into. But this gun now, the one I used for my example, it had 26,000 reviews. So, you know, think about it. If you're launching on Amazon and you have no reviews and you're really trying to gain traction and get your foot in the door, you don't want to be going up against listings that have 26,000 reviews, because it's almost like David and Goliath. You know, you're next to this guy who's got 26,000 reviews. How the hell are you going to stand out against someone who has that many reviews, who obviously has a great conversion rate and who sells through? And I think the seller was making $3 million a month in revenue on that listing. So, you know, just a no-no. Don't pick products that have huge numbers of reviews. Don't pick products that are seen as trendy. Now, the massage gun, I believe it will stand the test of time, but it definitely did start out as a trendy product. You know, it was all over Alibaba. You had suppliers that maybe, you know, they specialized in wood, but yet they were trying to pitch this massage gun as well under their account. So watch out for that, right? So avoid those kind of trendy products. And a really huge indicator of that is when you go into the search volume for the keywords around your product, look for like huge spikes in the search volume. So if the search volume was, you know, kind of working along at a pretty low level, and then you had a massive spike up and then, you know, a pretty huge spike down as well on the other side, that is a trendy product. So what I'd recommend to you, especially for your first product, is that you stick to evergreen products. So think about things that people are always going to need. So, you know, people are always going to need whiteboards. I always go to whiteboards because I think it's a great example. You know, people are always going to need keyboards. People are always going to need mouses for their computers. So think about products that people are always going to need, and not necessarily products that are here today and potentially gone tomorrow. So for me, that's a big one, Mike. I'd say, you know, avoid those kind of trendy products with the huge reviews and poor search volume charts.
Yeah, unless you're at the front of that trend and you get, you know, you're in tune to something the day it goes off on social media or however it becomes a trend, you're going to be behind. And then those types of markets are where a lot of price wars happen, because Chinese can undercut on these trendy markets. Whereas when they're markets that are a little more developed, and you can, there's just not as quick of a fluctuation. You can take your time, fill the product with something better, differentiated, and actually have staying power instead of just a quick burst for a cash grab, which doesn't always work. And so that's a great one. You know, what I would say is avoid anything with either glass, so on the tangible side, glass, or complex electrical components. So what you don't think about a lot when you're actually doing product research is, what's this product going to be like from a customer experience perspective in terms of where my reviews going to be? And so the more fragile or the more complex electronically your product is, it's hard. It's just natural for those products to get worse reviews because they're going to break, or the person's not going to read the instruction manual, not going to know how to set it up. And so managing those products, you're not going to know in product research because it's going to look good. You wouldn't know until 6 months down the road, your listing's at a 3.7 and Amazon's sending you a bunch of emails saying if it doesn't, if your, I believe it's called an NCX customer experience rate doesn't improve, they're going to pull your listing. You know, every experienced Amazon sellers had some experience with this to a degree. Usually you're fine as long as you improve your product or the bad reviews stop or the returns stop. But it's not just you launch a product and then whatever the sales are, boom, you're good to go. You better make damn well sure that your product is high quality. And then it's also user friendly because the complex electrical component is more like, are people actually going to take the time to learn your product? If it's something that's very valuable to them, they will, but more than likely that's not what you're selling. And so if it's complex, you're just creating a problem and people, you know, unfortunately will just blame it on you, give you the one star and then go on their way because Amazon's customer first centric, right? Not necessarily the seller. So
100%. Don't just assume that because you might be, you know, adverse in using that product or you might be, you know, experienced in that product and, you know, it comes very easy to you. Think about when you're selling this product, right? You're selling it to elderly people. You're selling it to people that might be visually impaired. You're selling it to people with, you know, pain points, just general people that have, you know, general real life ailments. So they might not have, you know, the able-bodiedness that you have and also the expertise and knowledge that you have as well. So, you know, bear that in mind. So whenever, you know, create a product, if you have to redesign the instruction manual or you have to really break things down in a lot more detail than what is already provided by the company, by stock, by the supplier, you know, do that. Make it as easy to use as possible and you will not get many negative reviews. You will still get some people that, you know, if you fall foul of black hat tactics or just general, you know, silly people who, you know, leave negative reviews for no reason, you'll get that. But, you know, if you do everything in your power to make sure that your product is almost idiot-proof, you should be generally quite good.
Yeah, that's a great term. You have to dumb it down. And so, you know, a lot of the best products are ones that you think, one, how the hell is this selling? But two, it's just so simple that you're like, this is really selling 90,000 a month competitors, but it's just a basket or it's just something with that has unique demand where people are searching for this. It's like, those are the products that there's not going to be a version 2.0 next year, right? Like that's where you want to be. So I would just say the more boring, as long as it's a different product and new keyword demand, the better.
100%, 100%, dude. The other thing I'd say is, you touched on the fragile products. What I'd also say is try and avoid products where the price point, you know, is below that $30 mark. And, you know, we were talking about this earlier. We had a conversation offline and we were even saying that $30 price mark is, you know, I still think that's pretty low because you still get a lot of Chinese incoming at that price point. And, you know, when you think about differentiating, it cuts into your margin. You add different bits in before you know it, you're not actually making any money. And then a price war starts and then, you know, you have to then drop your product to a price point where you're actually making a loss. So with me now on this, like we had this conversation earlier, and I think now really the minimum price point, if you want to be on the safe side, is around $50. So, you know, we were talking about launching products that, you know, are about, you know, over that, going towards the $100 mark. But, you know, really minimum kind of price point now I'm looking at, if I am looking at launching more products, is $50. You know, I don't really want to go below that. So two things that you do when you launch products that have a higher margin and a higher price point is, one, the margins are better, and two, you get less customer complaints, right? So it sounds really weird, but people are actually more inclined to spend money and pay higher. They don't really give any customer complaints, negative complaints. You're going to get the most complaints when you actually sell products that are either discounted or have a very low price point. So for me, in my experience, if you can afford it and you have the necessary capital to make that initial investment of 250 orders at, you know, a price point which is above the kind of lower end price point, you will actually, I think, be better off in the long run, because one, you make more money, two, your margins are better, and three, you have less headache because people aren't complaining.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's just people, you know, the lower they spend, the less, it's just kind of the customer you're targeting. And those people are kind of looking for not necessarily a scheme, but just they know spending $25, maybe they should have spent more. And unfortunately, those are people who will give you 1-star reviews. So we coach people really above 30 minimum, $27.99 true minimum. But if you have the capital, and it's a little more to launch a product higher, but not much, because you can start with a lower inventory order because you don't need to move as much to understand the market. And so just avoiding those low price $15 to $25 items that everyone wants to sell, right? That's the one time, that's the smoking hot model that you just have to pass up, because that will be a price war, and that'll cause a lot more issues for your brand and waste a lot of your time, to be honest, just because you'll be competing to make lower margin than you should. So 100%. Anything else on that front, my man?
I think those are the main points in terms of, you know, products to avoid. There is an art to this, right? So as you go through this and you start to eliminate certain products, you will then clear your mind and clear the vision and clear the pathway to actually start seeing products that do fit the mold, that do fit your requirements. And you'll start to see a little bit of a pattern where, you know, you'll pick one good product and you find another one. And then, you know, the next hurdle for me then is after that is, how do I build a brand around these products? So when you're just starting out, you know, you can find products, maybe one product that works well, but being able to find two or three or four products within the same niche and category that work well together, that is the second challenge. But that's, you know, a conversation for a later date. You know, I don't want to bombard you guys who are at the product research phase. You know, just focus on getting that one product. It might not be something that you're completely passionate about, but remember, our goal in this business isn't to be passionate about, you know, a product that we're selling. It's to make money. So, you know, don't pass up a product because you're not very passionate about it. Just understand that if there's a need for it and there's customer demand and you can make money, the margins stack up quite right. You know, that's something you want to go for.
Hell yeah. Until next time, guys, check us out. Our Accelerator 2.0 program is really a lot of fun. Everyone in it is, you know, we had a live exclusive demo with Helium 10 today. You don't get this access anywhere else. So check us out. Shoot us a DM if you have questions about getting started there or on your own. Always happy to help. Until next time, keep selling.
See you later, guys.